referee is reaching into their pocket. What's that card going to be? Oh, it's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I am your host, Eric Baisley. With me tonight is...
John Brennig.
Well, we had a visitor from Fort Lauderdale FC, and with the blue shorts are back, so we've got a lot to talk about tonight. John, how are you doing?
Good. It's been a busy week, but it's been fun. And yes, blue shorts. Man, love to see those back.
We're going to talk about the blue shorts. We're going to talk about who the hardest working players were for the matches against Fort Lauderdale FC, also known as Inter Miami, and Los Angeles Galaxy, who we played today. John and I were at the games, not together, but at the games with our families. We are going to talk about the most valuable player. I think it's going to be an easy win for game two. We're talking about the best goals. And of course, in the next segment, we'll tell you what we learned about these games. John's going to hit you with some key stats, and we're going to tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. John, let's kick it off. Gut check on, let's go in reverse order. Gut check on today's game.
Man, that was a B+ all sub lineup, and they didn't suck.
No, they didn't.
So I would sum that up into the word shock almost. Like it really was. Like it, the first 15 minutes were a little
20.
Dicey, like yeah, that.
20 minutes
15 to
were...
20. But after that, they got a rhythm and things started going, and I was very impressed with what I saw.
Yeah, I think that the lineups, just for the folks at home, just to let them know, what were the lineups for the opening match? So we had not Hani, but who did we have up there?
Yeah, we had up front, we had Gaines, Bunbury, Yearwood, Sadich, Anungwa, Washington, Wheel, Coleman, Mayer, Bauer, Panico. I mean, literally, other than Wheel, well, I guess Washington, because technically he started because Lovitz has been injured. But I mean, other than them, you would say all of those are usually subs. I guess Mayer would be the other one. But I mean, it was
a lot of new names. A lot of new names on that.
Some of the names we saw against Mocha, because again, that was a little bit of a rotation-y match. This is the first time a few of these have seen minutes for us in MLS play.
Yeah, it was a chilly day, but it was a beautifful, bright and sunny day. Mm-hmm. And I did enjoy my time there. We brought the family. I had a daddy dog, always good. And came away with a 2-2 tie. Disappointing. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We also played Fort Lauderdale FC, speaking of disappointing games. Gut reaction to that match?
Yes, it was disappointing, but honestly, I think it kind of almost felt like a win because, I mean, first of all, you and I talked about this, and I know you'll go over when we get to score predictions. You and I did not think that these games would go this way. So step one.
We did not.
But overall, I thought it was good in that, I mean, we got a lot of production. Honestly, I think we saw this with the League's Cup the final. There was a miraculous Messi moment. It happened. He scored. We came back. We tied that game, you know, before penalties. I think we could have left this one 2-1, given him the miraculous Messi goal. I think the Suarez one was on, honestly, to me, on Zimmerman getting hit, knocked to his knee and having to be subbed. I don't think it would have happened if he was in there, but, you know, hindsight and all that. So I think it would have been nice to have the victory, but all things being said, it would have been a lot better than I think any of us thought. So,
yeah, my most concerning thing about that, and it was apparent in today, is that it looks like Walker has been hurt. It may be concussion. Now, they didn't say in the post game. I listened to the post game with Gary. I didn't hear the word concussion. That's my fear, though. But I might be wrong. And hopefully I...
No, I saw Ben Wright tweeted something about that he had soreness still in his knee and they were looking at it.
Good.
So he had some quote and I'd have to find it later. Yeah, he will be out suffering a knee injury is what it listed. But it said, yeah, there's soreness. They think there's a possibility for Wednesday, but I mean, obviously it's Gary, so you're not going to get a straight answer out of him anyway.
Yeah.
But no, it was just the knock on his knee from Gomez that seemed to be ailing him.
All right, let's talk about the hardest working player. We'll do one for each game first. Let's do them again in reverse order. Let's go with today's match. Hardest working player for you.
I'm going to give it to the one and only Brian Anungwa.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, get it.
He and Drew were suffocating them in the midfield, and it was very impressive. But this is, again, Brian had a good game, against Mocha. I feel like maybe, I'm going to knock on wood here because my desk is wood, maybe Brian's taken another step forward this offseason
in developing
some things
and
being a true quality, almost an MLS quality backup that we've hoped him to be and used him as, even though I don't think he was till this year. He looked good. He was intercepting passes. He and Drew's energy over the pitch was amazing today. And so he gets my MVP because he was all over. He was doing things. He still wasn't perfect. He still got dispossessed a couple times, not perfect passes, but like his effort was, I mean, this is what you would want from someone who isn't necessarily your starting midfielder, but that you can plug in on a rest period like that when we have schedule congestion and get a performance like this. You can't complain.
Yeah, I gave it to Drew. Drew, I thought that, again, but I agree, I'm back in your play on Anuga. I definitely think Taya Bryan's game has elevated. I definitely think that. I think he's been working on some things. I think my daughter commented that he was on the field for 20 minutes and did get a yellow card. So that's an improvement already. But I gave it to Drew. I thought Drew's work pace is just his level of, he really brought a lot of, I like what you said. He brought a lot of energy to the pitch. Very aggressive. What I like to see, that aggressive midfield play, which, you know, honestly, we kind of lack a lot of games. And that was, it was a nice change of pace. So I gave it to Drew. I thought he deserved it. All right. Let's talk about the Miami, Inter-Miami match. Hardest working for Inter-Miami.
This was a hard one because I feel like there was a lot going on in that match.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it to Hani because he did not have his best game. He didn't have enough about, but Hani slide tackled the ball away from someone. Do you remember, like, that highlight stuck in my mind of like, not, I mean, he's always played defense, but I feel like Gary gave him the mandate that when we don't have the ball, because he wasn't floating forward trying to like get to their center backs. I feel like Gary gave him the mandate to stick on Busquets and annoy him. And Hani did a great job of that. Again, I don't think he got as much to show on the offensive end, but that was made up for in other ways, which we'll probably talk about in a minute. But I give it to Hani because of the defensive effort. I mean, he was putting in a lot of pace and doing a lot of stuff that you tend to ask from Gary players, but I don't know that we've seen this level of it from Hani. So I was actually quite impressed, and I thought he put in a hard shift, especially for the, you know, the time he played.
Yeah, I give it to Alex Muriel again. I thought that Alex's work rate, again, was very, very high. But bless his heart, he cannot hit the goal to save his life. He gets the ball. He's aggressive. Speaking of highlights, he had a highlight moment today where he dispossessed guys two or three times with some really fancy footwork. And
I know what you're talking about.
For two thirds of the field, Alex is wonderful. And then that final third just. His brain takes
a step up from Eric Miller, who was only good for half the field.
Yeah, I think Alex's brain takes over, and then there's too many calculate. There's like the Homer System Simpsons like cascade of like cartoons going on in his head. He just starts shooting the ball at weird like trajectories. Like you said, like going into
Literally rocket science to him because he's trying to rocket the ball out of the stadium.
All right, let's do man of the match for each game. Let's start with today. Who was your man of the match for today's game against Los Angeles Galaxy?
See, I gave mine to Drew. I thought he was was the key. Because, like we said, to me, the key was both of them in the midfield. That duo, I think, is the reason we got the result we did. But I gave it to him because he got the goal. He drew the penalty. I think he was a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And according to FootMob, he was actually the highest rated player of the game.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
I mean, I think he deserved it. I think he did a great job. This is, to me, we saw one against Mocha, and now we saw it again. This is the potential we see. We saw in Drew when we signed him and being not necessarily a Dax like-for-like replacement, but a Dax level where he can be a starter every other game, most games in the MLS. This is the Drew we need. So I feel like it was a perfect game. We got the Anungwa we need, you know, backup midfielder giving people rest, and Drew an MLS starter, proven MLS quantity starting midfielder, and plus with a bonus goal and penalty drawn. So I feel like we got peak Drew that we needed, and it was great.
Yeah, he made a difference in the game, and he definitely, I agree. He deserved a man of the match. I gave it to Panico. He was also the on the field man of the match. That foot save, man. I mean, just one in a million. I'm sorry. A moment. And honestly, but let's be honest. If it wasn't for Panico, it would have been a 5-2 game. I mean, they had some pretty good shots.
They did. And I will say this, the two that went in, I don't know that any goalie could have saved them. Maybe Puja's shot, but that other one where it came from the kind of like the back cross, that second shot, no one was going to save that because you had to cover and move over. That was impossible.
I think
so. I agree. I absolve him of the two he let in because they were probably, you know, they were low percentages.
From my angle, from where I was way up in the nosebleeds, it looked a little more like he was just a little late on that Puj goal, just a little bit. But I have the advantage of seeing it almost slow, you know, the whole, you know, where I was sitting, I had the advantage of seeing the whole field. So I think he may have been screened. You know, when you look down there, when I'm down in my regular seats, I can see, you can't see him. There's a player blocking. So he could have been screened. But
I will say this, from the other end, it looked like they were trying to, and they just didn't get the right window of blocking him. It looked like there was a little bit of letdown on the defenders in front. But anyway.
All right, but let's finish our first segment up with our favorite goal.
Don't know. Man of the match for the Florida.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Thank you for varying me. Man of the match.
I mean, you're probably, there's got to be consensus. It's Jacob, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's Tennessee pretty
water slide.
The Tennessee water slide gets the man of the match. New dad. He had that new dad energy, and it showed, boy. He was on fire.
Absolutely.
During the second goal, he was like Godoy was like, "You're on fire." He was just like, "Ooh, can't touch you." He's like, "I couldn't touch you. I can't touch you. You're too hot." I thought that was a great celebration.
That was great.
But speaking of, let's segue into favorite goal. Which one of the four this week was your favorite?
First of all, I like having some to choose from. Even if we have ties, it's nice to actually have an option. I believe it was his second, Jacob's second goal that was the right one.
I call it the rocket shot.
This is there was an interview afterwards with Hani where someone asked him, "What did you think of Jacob's shot?" And he goes, "Oh, Jacob's shot." He goes, "I kind of expect that." And really, tell us more. He said that he and, you know, obviously Hani stays after practice sometimes and likes to shoot practice goals and PKs and stuff. He said Jacob's been staying and specifically working on his weak foot, his right foot, because he's left-footed, has been working on right-footed shooting. And lo and behold, it now pays off. So that's why I picked that one as a reward and kind of a kudos to Jacob for knowing a weakness of, hey, I have a better left foot than right foot. And he's been working on that. And it paid off with an amazing shot in that game. So that's my favorite.
With some power. There was some power behind that shot.
It was
shot,
not too. Like a weak shot. It was no it had purpose.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we learned from the two matches. John's going to share some stats, and we will tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. Stay with us. We are back. All right, John, what did you learn from these matches?
I mean, to me, the macro level, I learned that maybe the doom and gloom of last week is not really who we are this year. I mean, you and I talked about, we were pessimistic. We picked losing these games realistically. Let's put it out there. We thought we were both going to lose or at best tie one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah, in time. But I mean, looking at the way we played here and the fact that we still had Sam for 15 minutes today, maybe we didn't have Walker for this game. So we've been juggling and getting not full DP minutes. Like we've played some good soccer that I know that we went over in our preview episode that, you know, a lot of people picked us somewhere between like 7th and like 12th in the Eastern Conference. If we keep playing like we do in these two games where I don't know if they're giving them extra Red Bulls, probably not Red Bulls because trademark and stuff inside the MLS, but you know, extra energy drinks before the games and we can play like this, we might be okay. We might be a top six, top five team. If we play like this and not like a couple weeks ago. So there's that. But the other thing I'd like to add is context is everything. Yes, both of these are 2-2 ties because the most dangerous lead in soccer is a 2-0 lead. But you think about this against Messi. We were probably going to see a Messi miracle goal happen. It happened. The last goal against Suarez, there was a lot of caveats to it of, you know, Zimmerman went off injured, things like that. It's a big competition. Like, you know, coming out of it, that was successful. Today, again, we played a B lineup and we're able to push them to that. Yes, we conceded goals. But again, coming into this week, Miami was the top in the East. They're still tied for the top of the East now. LA was the top team in the West coming into this week. They're, you know, with that tie, a couple of them jumped them. Going back to week one against the Red Bulls, they are currently also tied right now at the top of the East with Miami with 7 points apiece. Basically, even Colorado has 4 points, so they're okay. But if you look at three of the four teams we've played in these last 2 weeks, these are good teams. These are top-tier playoff teams in the Red Bulls, Miami, and LA Galaxy. So the thing is, it's not that we're just playing scrubs and tying and slacking off. Yes, again, the Colorado game was a bit of an embarrassment the way things went down. But to me, the context of look at the teams we played with the schedule congestion, this is pretty good stuff. And you could tell today, the big thing, I think the big takeaway is Gary rested as many people as he could to prepare as much for Wednesday. So we are going all in. There is no question anymore. I think we've seen that we are going all in, and yeah, that is a great thing to see.
Yeah, I learned three things. Yeah, three observations, and no particular order. I think that we learned that I want to build on what you just said. So let me finish with my second one, which is the product on the field is very entertaining at no matter what lineup we have. I was worried about the first 20 minutes, but I think both teams were trying to feel each other, you know, get a feel for the game. There was still some, because we don't see the Galaxy very often. They don't see us at all, or even think about us or care.
Yeah, and I think that's the one time we play them this year and we're done.
Right, yeah. So the LA Galaxy being in the West and also being somewhat of a snob team don't really give us a lot of thought or plan for us. So, but I feel like it was an entertaining football match. It was like entertaining. And I got to admit that that's one of the biggest knocks on Gary. And I hope that that continues. Okay. So that's one thing I learned. Two, Hani really has, I think, gotten what he wants. When you notice when he came on, especially in the last 15, they were giving him the ball on the ground. No more like cross pat. Like he's pointing at his feet. I want the ball on the dribble. I think Valera was talking, I think, in one of Valera's questions to Hani, I think that his message to his teammates is give me the ball on the ground. I want the ball on the trot, I want it on the dribble and I want
to
take it.
He doesn't want to have to head it down and do anything fancy. He wants to be able to keep his momentum and go towards goal or redirect it. Yeah.
And I really, I kind of liked it. It was like, wow. Okay. Everyone's like one, they're still looking for Hani, but two, they're looking to get the ball to him on the ground. And I actually started thinking, this looks a lot better. It looks more, and I hate to say it, and I genuinely don't want to bring this into it, more European. It looks more, without all the long crosses and all that crap, it looks more like a European game. So in my opinion, again, just my opinion.
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of Euro soccer this weekend from the German league and the Bundesliga and EPL, Premier League, and I don't know. It just seems more like a passing game. As my wife commented, "Oh, it just looks like a very elaborate game of keep away." I'm like, "Well, you're not wrong."
I mean, if you want to, sure, we'll give her that one.
And I think the third thing I learned is that Gary has a huge challenge being in four competitions this year. Like seriously, Open Cup, CONCACAF Champions Cup, Leagues Cup.
It's only three because we're not in the Open Cup anymore.
Okay.
Because of whatever.
Still, it's a long story to say. Basically, it's a lot of soccer, and putting together teams to play, you know, while resting other guys, that's a real challenge. I think, I don't know, it gives me a lot of hope. What I saw today, because it was like, okay, let's see what they can do. I like it. So that's what I learned, John. All right, John, hit us with some stats.
Ooh, so fun. I'm going to go with the theme for this week. Let's like Sesame Street. The number of the week is two because Teal Bunbury leads NSC with two goals. But you know what that does for him? That makes him tied for second place in the Golden Boot race behind a couple folks with three. He's also tied with like eight other people, but nonetheless, he's tied for second place in the Golden Boot race, and we're going to go with that. Speaking of that, do you know who's tied for second place in the CONCACAF Champions League for goals? That would be Jacob Schaffelberg with three behind Julian Carranza and also Thomas Chenclay, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that, from New England. They each have four, but he's second place with three goals now because they did – I guess they retroactively gave him credit for the deflection one because it wasn't not enough
truly an own
to make
goal.
An own goal or whatever. So, and also, really fun fact, do you know who leads the CONCACAF Champions League right now? CONCACAF Champions Cup, dang it, in goals scored? Nashville SC with nine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know.
John, you need to double check that number. Would you?
It's right there on my other screen. Most goals, Nashville SC, nine.
That's crazy.
That's a stat. Granted, seven of them were against Mocha, but like, but I'm just saying, you played a lower tier team. So did New England. So, you know, all these other teams did too and have played three games. And so
Well, like you said, sometimes we tend to play down to opponents, and I think hopefully we're going to stop doing that. But we'll see as other competition comes to town. We'll see what happens. Okay. Most importantly, we need to talk about who or what needs to get off our pitch. Please, John, kick us off. Who or what needs to get off your pitch?
So I've got an interesting mix of ones. So I'm going to give a follow-up to the one from last week about the wildlife around here. Evidently, the moles still exist, and now our small puppy is obsessed with them because he's a spaniel, and so he tries to dig them out. So every time we go outside, he'll go outside and go to the bathroom and then proceed to try and dig and tear things up, and I spend 20 minutes trying to prevent him from digging the thing. So a yellow card to the wildlife outside, just because now it's been a frustrating ongoing thing. But I know that our listeners are invested in this, and it's a story now. So, you know, maybe it'll have a fun resolution at some point. Stay tuned. But my big red card goes to, from today's game, goes to Ricky Puig for trying to emulate the Neymar role.
Yeah. Well,
first of all, Neymar's Neymar. You are not quite Neymar. Let's be clear.
He's a good player, but you're not that level, bro.
He's not Neymar. But he did. The fact that he somersaulted at least three times.
Yeah, there was a three good roll barrel.
And then stayed down. If you somersault like that, you are not actually injured. When you are injured, you stop moving because your body shuts down. You go, oh crap, my ankle, knee, or whatever it is, I need to stop and stabilize it. Your body doesn't say, let's roll 5 or 6 more yards on the pitch. I'm sorry. That was utterly unbelievable. And that's why, again, all the fans picked up on booing him, which was great. So I give him the red card for trying to emulate the Neymar role and doing a very poor job of it, because again, you don't have the clout to get away with that. Even Neymar truly doesn't. People still mock him for it. So there you go. That one's mine.
Well, I'm going to cover the Inter Miami match, and I'm going to give my red card to Mr. Suarez. He is a piece of garbage. Between his overbite and his stupid hair and that dumb look on his face, I don't like anything about him. I never did. I never have liked him, and now I really don't like him. Again, how he's able to be on Inter Miami at the pay level that I know he is commanding, along with Busquets and
Alba and Messi.
There is going to be a documentary that's going to come out 10 years from now about the chicanery that went on to get all that crap together for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway. But that's not why I'm giving him my red card. No, I'm giving my red card to his neck tattoo, which is in the Vanderbilt VU sign. If you look, he has a neck tattoo with the VU. Yeah, go ahead and look it up. Go ahead and look it up. I know it probably means something else. It's probably three. Oh. Yeah, it's probably three something. But that's ours. Yeah. Okay, you're in Nashville now, baby. This is VU. This is not your neck tattoo. So my red card goes to Mr. Suarez's neck tattoo, stealing Vandy's VU sign. That's who can get off my pitch, along with all the other things I just mentioned.
Okay. And I'll VAR and explain the tattoo now that I've found the explanation. We'll throw it at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably something like he's got like three children or whatever. I don't know. I don't care. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk about matches coming up, what we got wrong, and we'll give you some score predictions and tell you how badly our score predictions went last week. So stay with us. And we are back. All right, John, if someone wanted to talk about their neck tattoos that's, you know, celebrates Hani's fastest hat trick in MLS history or anything else, how could they tell us about that?
I like that. That was a good one. You could go to Twitter at @GOMP_pod, or you can go to YouTube and look up Get Off My Pitch.
We are live 8 p.m. on Sunday nights. We'd love to have you post a question. We will read it on air if it's, you know, appropriate or clean or whatever. And let us know. All right, John, who are we playing and when are we playing them?
Well, as alluded to, we get to go down to Fort Lauderdale because it's not in Miami. Let's be honest. We get to play Miami down there for the second leg. At 7:15, so it's slightly earlier because Eastern time and all that joy. So 7:15 on Wednesday, and then on Saturday we host Charlotte for a standard 7:30 p.m. Saturday MLS kickoff time.
All right.
So two games back to back on the road in Miami and here for Charlotte.
Yeah, I will be tuning in, of course, Wednesday night, and I th- think I
Yes, I think most of us are. I don't know that anyone's traveling, but I mean, if you are, good luck to you.
Will also be, I think I will be going to the match on Saturday. Yep, we've got change of plans. So I'll be there on Saturday. All right, John.
I should be there as well.
All right, let's talk about score predictions. Okay, I was pretty cynical and had predicted a 3-0 loss to Inter. You predicted a 2-0 loss, I believe.
So I got their number of goals right. That's
yep. Open. Yep. So we were both wrong.
Both of us blanked NSC. So there you go. We doubted Jacob Schaffelberg.
We doubted the Tennessee water slide, and we were wrong. And also, we then had the Galaxy. I was a 3-1 to the Galaxy. I think a lot of Puig. I think he's a good player. And I just with the other player that he's paired with, I can't think of his name.
Jovilic.
I think a lot of Jovilic. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah.
Having those two together, very good combination for the Galaxy. I think they're going to, let's just say this. I would love to see the Galaxy again in the MLS final. How about that? I would love to see them again.
And I will say this. I think his first name is Dejan. I don't know. I always rated him higher. You know, for a while they had Chicharito and he was the sub and he kept scoring in sub
time.
Yeah,
he was so good.
It wasn't. I was like, why don't you? I thought they should have switched earlier. That's a whole nother
thing. They should have, yeah.
It's not our team. We don't talk about that.
I think he's a really good player. I like him a lot. All right. And you had 1-1. You had a 1-1 tie. So you had predicted the tie, but.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about. Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. How are we going to do to on Wednesday night against Inter Miami?
Well, okay. So to be clear, it's 2-2 right now, but those two goals that Miami scored were away goals. So in other words, there's weird magic of, you know, if we tie 2-2 again, we go to PKs. That's the magic one. Other than that, if it's a 1-1 tie, they win because they have more away goals. If it's a 3-3 tie, we would because there's more. So the short version of it, we need to win in regulation. That's the answer. That's what we need to do to seal this. It doesn't matter the score. As long as we win, we have more goals. We win in regulation. It's over. If we tie 2-2, we get to go to PKs. And Lord knows we do not need to do that again because that's just stress. So really, we have to win. I'm going to go 3-2 because I think there's going to be goals. I don't think we're going to be able to stop them again quite as successfully. I think they might get up, but I think we miraculously claw back because, you know what? This is make or break. So let's say Gary goes for it. We'll go 3-2. We win, and then we advance.
I'm going 2-1. I think there's a bit of caution down in Miami. I think when they're playing in Fort Lauderdale, their fans show up, but it's just not a big stadium. So I don't know.
You're saying 2-1 that we win or they win, to be clear?
No, we win 2-1.
No, we win. Okay.
Yep.
You're just basically taking a goal off each total.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be as high. I think it's going to be cautious for 80 minutes. And then the stops are going to come out in the last 10 minutes. I think that's I think that's typically how they like to play. And so I think that's what's going to happen.
And a note for full consideration, everyone knows about it or should know kind of our rest situation. Walker's a maybe. Sam played again today, so he should be available. Hines should be available. Messi did not play today for Miami. They lost. But he did not play today. They said it was rest. They didn't hint at any injuries. Tom Bogart out there did tweet that he thought there might be an injury, but there was no actual confirmation behind that. So it looks like he should be good to go. But Alba was back. And Busquets and Suarez and others played for limited minutes near the end. So just a brief update. So there's no reason to think that we won't be full strength versus probably full strength minus Walker. So,
right. How about this? Let's talk about the Charlotte match. Our rivals to the east.
You almost said Columbus.
I did. I'm giving them way too much credit. So for Charlotte, what are you thinking?
Man. I think we win. It's a home game. I think we win 2-0. I haven't really been impressed by what Charlotte's done this year. They've played less soccer, so in theory they're well rested. But I mean, if we put out the lineup we did today and they played like that, the Charlotte is not as good as LA. You know what I mean? So if we can play like this with that lineup, then I think we can win that game. Plus maybe Hani's back for a little bit of time or whatever. So I think that, I think that we can go out and win it, and I'll just say 2-0.
Yeah, I think we're resting. I think after Miami, I think Miami's going to be a knock. That last 10 minutes is going to be a knockout, drag-out fight to the end of that match. So I think that we're going to see more or less the same team we saw today play Saturday. And I think, but I, you know, I had us marked down as losing that match. I think it's going to be a 2-1 win. I do think they get a goal off of some weirdness. I think we still have some, there's still some question marks about our defensive shape on certain plays, right? Yep. I think there's still some questions about that. So I still think they get a goal, but I think it's a 2-1 win.
Yep. All right, John. And I will say this. I'll throw this out there. If we do lose that one and win Miami, I don't care. You know what I mean? If we win Wednesday night, don't really care what happens Saturday.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. All right, John, tell us what we got wrong from last week.
All right. One thing to mention, we talked about you gave me a mild yellow card last week for the whole asking Jack the Milkman thing, not watching it. Anyway, he did mention that he is going all in this year for the title to win the best celebrity cow milker at the Tennessee State Fair. So he said he's all in this year, for those of you who may not have watched the On Air with Hilaire where he answered that question. So should be a good one. I mentioned Ajago's age last time, and I say he's 20, but then 21, and I was correct the second time. He is 21 when I was talking about young. The guy with the handball from Colorado, Jonathan Lewis, he's actually a 6-year vet, not a rookie, as you said. But he was out for, I think he missed like 10 games last year with injury, so he was coming back for the first time. I think this is the first meaningful
MLS. Yeah, I think I'm probably misheard. I heard it on the broadcast and probably just misheard it, so that's on me.
And for this, in episode one, Suarez's neck tattoo, that's his celebration when he scores goals, and he kisses each one of them. One, they represent, and I'm reading this off the internet, the things represent his wife, daughter, and son are the three things. I don't know why he chose this finger versus this three, because I know this is very American style, European. But anyway, that's what he kisses after each goal. So that
he's from Uruguay, I think.
Correct. Yes, Uruguay.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't care. I don't like him.
Whatever you want. That's our show.
I don't like him. I don't like him as a player. I don't like him as generally as a walking around. So he can just go.
You don't want to run into him in a dark alley because you might not know what you do.
Yeah. Between his overbite and his dumb look, I don't like him.
And I will say I'm impressed that neither of us gave a red card to the elbows in the Miami game of last time either. I didn't even know without mentioning.
Again, I'm not a big fan of his. Not a big fan of him as a player. Anyway, so on that bombshell, John, thank you so much. I really appreciated spending some time with you last week. I love talking to you tonight. Thank you at home for joining us. Please tune in next week. We will have a lot to talk about after we face Miami again and Charlotte. Until then, good night, my friend.
Talk to you next week.